This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
The mass entry of 10 million illegal aliens during the Bush administration is grievously unfair to our millions of high school dropouts who desperately need a job to get started building a life. At least two-thirds of the illegal aliens now in this country, as well as those who would benefit by any guest worker plan, likewise do not have a high school education, so they are in direct competition with our native-born Americans. The Center for Immigration Studies has just released a report showing how immigrants, legal and illegal, who arrived during George W. Bush's presidency have caused a massive displacement of native-born workers. The number of young native-born American men who were employed declined by 1.5 million, while over the same period, the number of new male immigrant workers increased by nearly 2 million. Employers are substituting new immigrant workers for young native-born workers. New immigrants account for most of the growth in the number of employed persons in the United States. If the jobs held by new young immigrant males were made available to jobless native-born males, then the job deficit among our native-born males would be completely eliminated. America does not need any more high school dropouts. We have plenty of our own. The big agricultural employers cry around that they need additional Mexican guest workers to pick fruits and vegetables. But only 4% of all the illegal workers in the United States actually work in agriculture. That means 11.5 million aliens are illegally employed in non-farm industries. So why don't the agriculture employers hire illegal aliens who are already in this country instead of demanding that we import even more workers from other countries? Furthermore, a large share of illegal aliens are employed in the underground economy, which means they are paid in cash, and neither they nor their employers pay employment taxes.
You've been listening to the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presented by Eagle Forum. If the crisis of illegal immigration has you concerned, write us at Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002, and ask for our immigration information packet. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Heavyweight in the fight against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What on earth is Terry Anderson got?
He's articulating a popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. I call you stupid because I believe you should be more informed than you are. I call you stupid because I know more than you know, and when I know more than somebody knows, something is wrong. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm smart enough to know this country has been invaded by illegal aliens, and that is something that we've got to fix if we're going to survive and leave just a little something, just a little bit, to our kids and grandkids. I want to leave them at least what I have had. Maybe not better, maybe not worse, but at least that much. We got to understand something, folks. This is something that we can fix, and it's not new. The illegal alien invasion of the United States is something that has happened before, and it's not the first time that it's happened. The consequences will be horrible, though, if neglected by our government. 53 years ago, newly elected President Dwight D. Eisenhower faced the same crisis that Americans face today. 1954, all things being relative, there were 3 million illegal aliens in this country. Now, you're saying, well, that's not a lot of people compared to now. But guess what? It was a lot of people compared to what was living in the United States in 1954. The border was wide open. The border is still wide open. Some things change. Some things do not change. But the border was porous at that time. and President Eisenhower, who was extremely concerned about the invasion of this country, moved quickly and decisively and stopped it. He stopped it dead. Now, for those of you who think the problem is so large now compared to then, we don't have the resources to stop it. They should know that President Eisenhower did it very effectively with less than one-tenth of today's border force. That's right, one-tenth. That's 1,075 U.S. Border Patrol agents in 1954, and he stopped the invasion of the United States with that few people. You see, folks, it's not resources we need. It's the will and the resolve that's missing from the government of today's United States. To show just how concerned Eisenhower was about the invasion of his time, he wrote a letter in 1951 when he was running for office to Senator William Fulbright of Arkansas. Senator Fulbright had just proposed a special commission to examine unethical conduct by government officials who accepted gifts and favors in exchange for special treatment of private citizens. Boy, does that sound unique? No, that is very familiar because that's what's going on in the government today. That's the very thing that goes on, and those people that help do it are called lobbyists. Well, Eisenhower, at that time, running for president, loved the senator's proposal. He loved it so much that he quoted a report in the New York Times to the senator that said, quote, "The rise in illegal border crossing by Mexican wetbacks," this is from the New York Times, not my words, "by Mexican wetbacks to a current rate of more than 1 million cases a year has been accompanied by a curious relaxation of ethical standards extending all the way from the farmer exploiters of this contraband labor to the highest level of the federal government," unquote. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something unique, or does that sound like something that's still going on today? Our president, the president of the United States, has decided that he's going to turn a blind eye to this invasion. You folks out there know I'm neither Democrat or Republican, but I'm very conservative. And when I beat up on an alleged conservative president, it's because his lack of conservatism is what's sticking out. I beat up on him because he's not doing what other conservatives want him to do. And he has turned his back on the American people. He has said that it is okay for our country to be violated and to be invaded, and it is not okay. And if you look at polls, 80% plus of the American people will tell you that they want it fixed. But the president doesn't listen. The Senate has not listened. The Republican Congress, the House of Representatives that just went out, guess what? They listened a little bit, but now we lost them. So who's going to look out for us? That is a good question. This was written in the New York Times, for folks, in 1951, and it sounds exactly to what we're experiencing today. The difference in President Eisenhower and the current high levels of federal government, unquote, is the will and resolve that I spoke about to fix the problem. We have no will and resolve in government anymore. In an interview years later, Eisenhower's first attorney general, the late Herbert Brownell Jr., said that the president, quote, had a sense of urgency about illegal immigration when he took office. America was facing a breakdown in law enforcement on a very large scale. When I say large scale, I mean hundreds of thousands were coming in every year from Mexico without restraint, end quote. This guy understood what was going on, and so did the president of the United States. They both knew it, and they knew they had to fix it. So in 1954, the president appointed retired General Joseph Swing, a West Point classmate of the president, and a veteran of the 101st Airborne Division, as the new INS commissioner. Then, on June 17, 1954, a date that every American should know, President Eisenhower's Operation Wetback began. Because there was resistance to border enforcement in the state of Texas by open border advocates like Lyndon Baines Johnson and other senators of that time, the operation was begun in California and Arizona, where there was less political resistance. 750 agents swept northward with a goal of 1,000 apprehensions per day. Now, 45 days later, 50,000 illegal aliens had been caught in the U.S., and guess what? Guess what the fringe benefit of that was? 488,000 illegal aliens fearing arrest fled the country. So when they say you can't deport 20 million people, you don't have to deport 20 million people. You deport maybe 500,000, and the others will get the message and say, you know what? We better go. Now, back to Operation Wetback. By July, the operation moved into Utah, Nevada, Idaho, and to Texas. Texas being the biggest state, guess what? 80,000 were arrested by September, and an estimated 500,000 to 700,000 left voluntarily because they knew their days were numbered in the country. Upon deportation, they were not simply left at the border where they could come back again very easily. No. General Swing arranged for buses and trains to take them deep into the interior of Mexico before being released, making it harder for them to return to this country once again illegally. And one of the other major things that General Swing did as the head of the INS before the operation began was to transfer immigration officials out of border areas to other regions where their political connections to open border senators would have no effect, and that included Lyndon Baines Johnson. There were people in the INS who were directly under his thumb, and guess what? They had to be transferred out of there so that the others could do their job and they would not be undercut by these people who were beholden to crooked politicians. Folks, when they say this cannot be done, they are wrong. When they say we cannot clean our country up and get rid of the people who should not be here illegally, they are wrong. Operation Wetback was a resounding success, not only because they did it and they acted upon the law to do it, but because the other people who saw what was going on decided, you know what, we better leave too because we are here illegally and we don't want to get caught in the sweep. Many will do the right thing when pushed to do the right thing by watching others who are arrested. President Eisenhower will forever be remembered as the last president to enforce the laws of this country. And that's sad. All of those since him have refused to enforce them. They have refused to do the will of the people. But now the American people, the sleeping giant of patriotism, has awakened in this country and decided that they will now fix this problem with or without the government's help. Now, I'm not saying anarchy. I am saying we are pressuring the government to do the right thing. We are writing letters. They are doing things in places like Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and Escondido, California, where the local governments have realized the federal government will not do its job and have stepped in to pick up that slack. What are you doing in your community? You should be doing the same thing. The pressure from the American people is what's going to fix this thing. And if you don't do it, guess what? Nobody will. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All-American Radio Network.
I'm Steve Remage, president of the Association for Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs. Today's message is about mandatory retirement and why no one should be exempted from the current policy. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is one of the few law enforcement agencies that still adheres to a mandatory retirement age. At least it will for a while. Every deputy sheriff on the job in Los Angeles County is required to be duty ready for all aspects of the job. Most are. Those few that are not reside in the command ranks, but that's another story. Various lawsuits, state legislative actions, and ordinances adopted by the County Board of Supervisors precipitated a new retirement policy. Deputies hired after 1997 are not subject to the age 60 mandatory retirement. The policy has a positive effect on our ranks because it works towards an even playing field for now and in the distant future. Conversely, Sheriff Baca's ongoing attempts to exempt only a few Sheriff's Department personnel is bad for a long list of reasons, but mostly because it fosters favoritism controlled by the Sheriff's command staff. The same rule should apply to everybody. Mandatory retirement is a controversial and emotional issue. That's why it's no place for the Sheriff to play favorites. I'm Steve Remage. Please drive carefully this holiday season, and thanks for listening.
Folks, as you know, my producer Les Blinkhorn has written a book, The Adventures of Tracker. It's a dog, folks. It's a classic dog and boy book which can be enjoyed by all ages, regardless of what kind of child you are. Grown child, little child, middle-aged child, or maybe some old fogey child. But anybody can enjoy this book. Les has generously donated beautiful first edition hardcovers of the book to help us stay on the air. Send a donation of $30 or more to the Terry Anderson Show, and you will receive a copy inscribed to you or whoever you wish. Send your donation of $30 or more to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. That's the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. I'll give that address out again at the end of the show. The book is The Adventures of Tracker, and it will make a great Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or even yourself, because as you know, everybody loves a dog. This is the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about the illegal alien invasion of the United States. And I want to remind everybody out there that has friends and relatives who cannot hear the sound of our voice, they can hear us live by going to our website. That's theterryandersonshow.com. I want to welcome all those good folks tonight listening at KFNX 1100 AM, Phoenix, Arizona, the great K-Dawn, KDWN 720 AM, Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the folks listening across the country on the RBN Network. Let me give out that caller number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, to curse me out. But don't forget, you get back all that you give. You're nice, I'm nice. You're nasty, look out. That number is 1-866-870-5752. That's 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. Folks, talk about letting the fox watch the hen house. New Mexican government Governor Bill Richardson has been named as the Organization of America States Special Envoy on Migration. Wow. You remember Richardson. He's the guy who said, quote, "We must think of ourselves as Hispanic. We have to put aside party and think of ourselves as Latinos, as Hispanics, more than ever before in the past," end quote. That was 1996. Well, he has been appointed. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I got nothing against Hispanic people. What I'm telling you is we should be thinking of ourselves as Americans. And if he's a politician, he should be thinking of himself as a leader. This was the first statement he made after his appointment. He said, quote, "The migration issue is key to improving relations between Latin America and the U.S., end quote. He said he was ready to visit leaders who have been critical of the U.S. He also said that he totally disagrees with the plan to build a fence along the U.S.-Mexican border, and then told us what the whole thing was really about and what he really feels is important. He said, quote, two things must take place. And listen, which one was first? One, a plan to legalize the 12 million illegal immigrants in the United States. And, oh, well, by the way, I think it's also important to improve border security. That's what he said, end quote. Unbelievable. This is all about amnesty and legalization. He says he's going to talk to any Latin American leaders who have been critical of this country. I wonder how many American citizens he intends to talk to who feel they are being invaded. Don't you think that would be fair? Come to us, Mr. Richardson. Ask us how we feel. Just maybe you'll get a feel for what some of us have to endure in our communities. Richardson's mother is a Mexican lady. And he thinks of himself not as an American, but as a Mexican, and that's wrong. No leader of this country should be thinking of himself as a foreign national rather than of the country that he was born in. He is an American citizen, and we would ask him to please start acting like one. Bill Richardson, you suck, but more than that, you are the most horriblest clown of the week. All right, folks, you heard that great live commercial that was just done by Steve Remage. He is a deputy sheriff. He is here in studio with me. We're going to talk about the L.A. Sheriff Department, the biggest sheriff's department in the world, I've heard.
That's right, Terry.
And as you all know, I am extremely pro law enforcement on this show. I know law enforcement has had a black eye from time to time, but we have to remember when we call 911, we want a friend to show up, not somebody that we hate. And I have told that to Steve earlier, and we agree that police brutality is a thing that will not be tolerated, so we got that out of the way. Most police are good people. They're strong people. They work at what they do because they want to protect and serve. That's a nice catchphrase. Somebody should adopt that one. Anyway, Steve's here to tell us about the L.A. Sheriff, and we're going to ask him a few hard questions in a few minutes about immigration in the Sheriff Department. But tell us about your department, Steve.
Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me on the show tonight here, Terry. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, like you said, is the largest sheriff's department in the world. We have over 12,000 employees. 8,600 of those are actually sworn deputy sheriffs. We operate the largest jail facility in the free world. And, patrol a area of Los Angeles County that has over 10 million residents living in it. So it's a pretty tough job.
Now, how many people are in the New York Police Department?
You got me.
I think it's about 30,000.
Yeah, they do outnumber us quite a bit.
Explain to me how they've got so many, you've got so few. And also explain to me why you guys are riding around in one-man cars sometimes when that's unheard of in the city of New York City.
Yeah.
And some of our neighborhoods are as tough or tougher than those New York neighborhoods.
Well, that's been a big issue with me since I've been president of the sheriff's union there. And the response that I'm always given, it's a matter of budgeting priority.
Oh, they kill me with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can find money to give to everybody. We're very angry about the money that the illegal aliens get that they shouldn't be getting. We're angry about some of the ways that our prisoners are getting breaks they shouldn't be getting. People who have been on welfare for generations who shouldn't be getting the money, but you guys can't get the money you need to operate. That's outrageous.
Yeah, it's a yearly cycle for us, and we're always out there fighting and trying to do whatever we can to keep that funding coming into us.
What's morale like?
Morale right now actually is getting a little bit better. We were at a pretty low spot there for a while, and that was because of funding.
I could imagine.
Yeah, and the fact that we had gone through a 2.5-year cycle where we were not hiring any deputy sheriffs in Los Angeles.
And that was based on funding?
That was based on funding, yes. Yeah, that was back when the governor was taking funds from the county budgets to balance the state budgets, and then in turn, that was lessening the pool of monies that we had there from the state to actually operate the county of Los Angeles.
Now, you guys have a union.
Yes.
And your union is represented on this show as a sponsor, and we appreciate that very much. We are very happy to have you, not just for the money, which we need. We appreciate that. but just to be connected with an organization the size of yours that believes in us and we believe in you is a prestige for us, and we appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry.
I was wondering something. The sheriff's department's been around for a while. You guys take a lot of heat in the news sometimes for various things you do. One of the things that you take heat for from my folks, and I say my folks, listeners of the show all over the country, is the stance on the illegal immigration issue, the invasion issue that we call it. The refusal by the LAPD and somewhat to that extent of the LA Sheriff's Department to not apprehend people based on their immigration status. What's the deal on that? Give us the not the scripted answer. Give us the real.
Well, it's always been not a priority for the sheriff to enforce immigration laws. And I've been on since 1979, and I've worked several different areas throughout Los Angeles County, and areas where the illegal immigration was a problem. And it's like I said, it's been the non-priority of the sheriff to enforce those laws.
And why would you call it a non-priority?
Well, when you get into enforcing federal laws, first of all, I'm a true believer that the federal government should be paying their fair share for what it,
absolutely
for what it costs to keep the border safe. And like in Los Angeles County, the illegal immigration population in our jails, the federal government pays less than 50% back to the county of Los Angeles what it costs us to house those on a yearly basis.
So you're getting half of what it costs.
Yeah, and it's over $60 million a year.
Well, if you're not getting the money, where is that money coming from?
That's coming from the
the money you need to hire more sheriffs.
Taxpayers here in
there
Los
you
Angeles
go.
County.
There you go. That's that money that you guys don't have to operate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying before. So, what I hear from the Sheriff's Department and from especially the LAPD, who I really, really, this Special Order 40 just gets me. They cannot arrest somebody based on their immigration status, and they have to wait for that person, basically, who's in the country illegally, to commit another crime. Well, all illegal aliens aren't going to come here and commit additional crimes, even though the first thing they do to get here is a crime. But what gets me is they say they will not pull somebody over because that person is illegally in the country. Well, there's been instances where people have been out of prison, deported as a felony, an alien with a felony. They're deportable, so they're deported. They see the guy on the street 10 days later, know he's not supposed to be back here, but they can't stop him because that would be immigration related. That's outrageous. And this guy is going to commit more crimes, but they can't do anything to him. Why is that?
Well, you know, I mean, you do have certain issues with just being able to pull somebody over, you know, for no good reason. But like you said, you know, if he is a known illegal alien, you know that that person has been deported, then, you know, personally, I believe, yes, absolutely, you should be able to, you know, pull somebody over.
Well, we agree with you. We agree with you. What about the sheriff of Orange County, Sheriff Corona? Now, he's changed a few things there. What's the deal with his shift on this issue?
You know, I'm not really sure what his new policies are there.
Well, I know they're going to be training some deputies there to do work that they hadn't previously done, and he's taken a hit for it. I mean, I'm not a great big fan of his, don't get me wrong. But he is, I mean, you know, we want it gung-ho. We want it all. And if we don't get it all, we don't like the guy because he's not doing it all. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But my point is, they're now going to start arresting people in the jails for being illegally in the country. Is that a policy of the L.A. Sheriff's Department?
No, it's not, actually. I don't believe we currently have any anybody from ICE in the jails. Personally, do I think we should be? Absolutely. You know, all I can say is, you know, had we had somebody doing that function, or had the federal government really been stepped up and doing their job, you know, we probably wouldn't have lost as many police officers to, you know, illegal immigrants that we have, especially like David March.
Absolutely.
Who were still, you know, still fighting to get him back from.
And they've got this guy.
Yeah.
They've got him down there in Mexico, but they're just dragging their feet and saying, now they'll go after the bounty hunter. They want the bounty hunter shipped down there for something he supposedly did in Mexico, but they won't send us this guy who took a life, and even they admit he took the life, but they won't give him back because we won't refuse to use a death penalty on the guy. I'd like to use a death penalty 3 or 4 times on the guy, but that's the way he executed Deputy March was outrageous.
Absolutely was.
And you know what? That makes it hard for other deputies and police officers to do their job, because now they're saying, well, God, if somebody kills me, I won't even be avenged by my own government. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's sad because, you know, these people know they can get away with murder.
And, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, take a hour and 10-minute ride across the border, and then they're, you know, according to their country, they've done nothing wrong there.
Well, they have done something wrong. And, you know, I'm not anti-Mexican. I'm not anti-Mexico. It's a beautiful country, and there's a lot of good people down there who have not come here and done wrong.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of people who have stayed down there and are making a living down there. So I'm not against their country. I'm just against their government. I'm against my own government, for that matter, for the stupid things that they do sometimes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I love my country, but my government I don't trust. And it's getting to the point now where we're going to have to start doing something about this, and we're going to need you guys to help us. I know it's not your deal to set policy. But we understand that you might have some input in that direction, and we'd appreciate it if you might nudge them a little bit as maybe putting somebody in the jail system. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who can look out for this or something else. We're going to take a break. I'm coming up on a hard break. I've got somebody online who wants to ask you a question or two, and we're going to come back to Steve Remmage. We really appreciate him coming in today. It's really nice of him to come in. He came in with his whole family. He brought his two daughters, and... He brought it. Actually, it's his wife and his daughter. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to play a clip for you now. We want you to hear. This is our friend who's from the Brown Beret de Aslan, who believes that you white folks have no right to live in this country. This is him in his own words, Mr. Racist.
I was Dean Savada, Brown Berets. We're here today to show L.A., show the minority people here, the Anglo-Saxons, that we are here, the majority. We're here to stay. We do the work in this city. We take care of the spoiled brat children. We clean their offices. We pick the food. We do the manufacturing in the factories of L.A. We are the majority here, and we are not going to be pushed around. We're here in Westwood. This is the fourth time we've been here in the last 2 months to show white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant L.A., the few of you who remain, that we are the majority, and we claim this land is ours, it's always been ours, and we're still here. And none of this talk about deporting. If anybody's going to be deported, it's going to be you.
Come back to Simi Valley, you skunks! Come back to Woodland Hills! Come back to Boston! Go back to the Plymouth Rock! You pilgrims! Get out! We are the future! You're old and tired! Go on! We have beaten you! Leave like beaten rats!
much space, too much air. We are the majority in L.A. There's over 7 million Mexicans in L.A. County alone. We are the majority. And you're going to see every day more and more of it as we manifest, as our young people grow up and graduate from high school, go on to college, and start taking over the society. Our people are the vast majority of people are under the age of 15 years old. Right now, we're already controlling those elections, whether it's through violence or nonviolence, through love of having children. We're going to take over.
This is Atlan. This is Mexico.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime. Time to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about the illegal alien invasion. I got a couple of announcements to make, folks. Yesterday we had a service for Fred Akers, one of our good folks, stand-up guy, an American citizen. It was a service for him to remember him. He died in November. What a great guy. Lots of people showed up, and I just want to say that we're going to miss Fred. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful American, and I'm going to use a word on him that I don't use on a lot of people. He was a patriot. And that's something we don't say often. In his case, we can't say it often enough. We will miss Fred Akers. Also, this Wednesday night, I will be in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Italian-American Club, giving a speech. It is a fundraiser for Russell Pierce. You folks know him. He's a state politician from the Phoenix area. He just won re-election, had to use a lot of his own money to get in. It was a tough election. But as you know, Russell Pierce is one of the real guys. He's a stand-up guy. He's fought for us on this issue and many other issues. And he is one of the people we need to keep in office. It's going to be a fundraiser for him. It's going to be at the Italian-American Club. From 6 to 8:30, and there's a $50 donation to get in because it is a fundraiser. But if you want to find out more about it, you can call Willa at 602-863-3050. That's 602-863-3050. That's Wednesday night in Phoenix, Arizona. Also, Friday morning, I will be doing the Peter Boyle show from Denver, Colorado. I will be hosting it for 4 hours. Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm going to get to say more than I always get to say. Lots of time to spew my vitriol, as they say. But I will be doing that on K-Howl Radio 6:30 in
Denver. You'll be able to listen live on our website. We'll put up a link so you can go there and listen to the show. It will be from 4 to 8 Pacific time. That's 5 to 9 in Denver, Colorado. We're going to get back to our guests now. During the commercial, Steve informed me that the L.A. sheriffs do have people trained to do the thing in the jails to a limited extent, and more so than the Orange County system.
Correct. Yep.
And that they may expand that, but right now they are beating Orange County at it. And the thing in Orange County is kind of like a press deal. They kind of did that to make a point or two, but really wasn't full blast, you know, like we like it. We want 100 guys, and they're knocking them down 5 an hour, giving them over to ICE. We want the trucks running all day long, because if a guy's not supposed to be here, we want him out of the country. Anyway, we're going to take a call now, a guy who says he wants to ask Steve a question. Brad calling from Las Vegas. Brad, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Mr. Anderson. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask your guest, if I could, please. When the police, I don't mean to be negative, too, but when the police pull over an illegal alien, do they look the other way when it comes to insurance?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, there's no real way for us to tell that, you know, they're illegal or not. You know, when we pull them over, you know, they are asked for a driver's license, and if it's a traffic violation, you know, proof of insurance. So,
and what if they don't have it, Steve?
If they don't have it,
yeah.
If they don't have a driver's license, first of all, their car's towed.
Is that 100% of the time?
I can say for what I used to do when I worked the streets, that was you know my MO there. You know, if somebody didn't have a driver's license, that means they shouldn't have been driving a car.
American, foreign, legal, illegal. I agree with that one.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, and we just take the car and wait for the registered owner of that car to come pick it up.
Now I've been told, and Brad, I hope that satisfies you.
Yeah, could I just ask if I could please?
Sure.
Do you ever get phony and like you know how they have the phony driver's licenses? Do they have phony insurance papers, or do you look it up on a computer to double check it?
No, there's actually no way to check verify the validity of that insurance card. So,
So it could be phony. Is there
absolutely?
It could be phony.
Yeah, I mean every insurance company issues some type of a different identification. Some of them are just a paper card. Some are like little plastic credit cards.
And there's no computer database you can go to
no.
to check it.
No, there's nothing to have.
Probably there's a lot of them that are phony.
I would imagine.
Could be.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Brad, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I've heard that they're trying to pass or have passed a deal in the California Senate or Assembly where somebody who cannot get a driver's license, now that's a person who's not eligible for a driver's license, cannot get a driver's license. That doesn't apply to American citizens who have been revoked or suspended. But a person who's not eligible, an illegal alien, will only have their car held for 24 hours. Have you heard about that one?
I haven't heard that yet, no, but I know current policy is that we can hold them for up to, I believe it's 30 days.
30 days, yeah. Right. In fact, I think it's a mandatory 30 days.
Right.
But this is in the Assembly now, and I read this. They are working on a piece now where if it's passed, people who are not eligible for a driver's license will not have their car held more than 24 hours. That's outrageous. Now you're putting people who are illegally in the country over American citizens.
Right, absolutely, and I would suspect that if that is true, and you know there is that kind of legislation working its way through there, that we are going to be notified about that, and I'm sure there'd be a concerted effort amongst law enforcement agencies across the state to make sure that legislation doesn't get approved.
That's just horrible.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of things horrible in this world, but that one sucks.
Yeah.
It really does. We're going to take some calls. Stick around, Steve. Let's go to Victor calling from Englewood. Victor, what do you hear? What do you say?
Yes, Terry, nice talking to you.
Likewise.
The question here is to the officer. You know, you hear so many news in the Spanish-speaking broadcasting that they're very misleading. And on this subject, I recently heard or saw a news piece where they spoke about how some people who do not have driver's license, they can get their registration with the matricula consular and insurance. So they were blaming the governor and the system because, according to them, well, they were making a great deal of money out of the people who do not have driver license. And I really think that this is something that is extremely misleading because, of course, it's just promoting that people should or could obtain a insurance without having a driver license.
That's insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, that absolutely, you're right. I mean, it makes no sense to me. You know, that doesn't sound right, first of all.
Well, thank you.
All right, Victor. Thanks for the call. All right. We got Barbara Cole calling from Orange County. Barbara, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Tara. A couple things. I just wanted to share with your listeners this afternoon, as I was very, very busy, I just happened to pick up Les's book and lost a whole hour out of my life.
Wasted your time, huh?
It wasn't a waste. It was wonderful.
It is a good book.
Fascinated. I didn't even realize I lost an hour out of my life for that another hour. So I recommend it to your listeners completely. Secondly, I want to share our information with your listeners to our meeting on December. Pardon me. This is on Wednesday, December 27th, after Christmas, when all the hustle and bustle has settled down. Keith Hardine is going to be with us. He is a professional martial arts instructor and certified expert on all legal protective devices such as sprays, tasers, stun guns, etc. Because, Terry, we have certainly learned with basic stats that thousands of American citizens are being attacked daily, robbed, raped, murdered, kidnapped. And we are so hoping that your listeners will attend this meeting.
And what's the date on that, Barbara?
Very simple ways that they can defend and protect themselves.
And what's the date on that, Barbara?
The date is December 27th. The time is 7:30 p.m. The place is Garden Grove Women's Club, 9501 Chapman Avenue at Gilbert in Garden Grove. And if anybody has any questions, please tell them to contact us at the very easy-to-remember phone number, 877-NO-LEGAL.
Okay, Barbara, thanks so much.
You betcha.
All right. Take care. All right. All right, let's go to Ray Herrera, calling us from Victorville. Ray, what do you hear? What do you say?
Oh, how you doing there, Terry?
Pretty good, buddy.
Announced the rally that we're going to have for Senator Harry Reid up there in Las Vegas on the 18th from 12 to 2 p.m., and that's Monday the 18th, and we're going to respond to Harry Reid for what he said on the Lou Dobbs show, and that was that he had the people's mandate for compromise in immigration reform and amnesty.
Did you hear my monologue, Ray?
No, I didn't.
In the monologue, I mentioned how Lyndon Baines Johnson was for open borders and fought Eisenhower on when Eisenhower did Operation Wetback in 1954. And this guy, Harry Reid is one of the guys who is against the American people right now on this issue.
Very much so. And we're going to give them our people's mandate, we the people's mandate, and that's to seal the borders and not only apprehend but deport these illegal aliens. We have no use for them here in America. They desecrate the American culture. They take jobs away from the American youth. And when Harry Reid comes on the Luke Dobbs show saying that he's got the people's mandate, if the people's mandate is right, but it's corporate America, American investors, foreign investors, and illegal aliens, immoral Mexican nationals. We're going to take it to him on Monday on the 18th. We'd like to ask everybody across the United States to call Harry Reid's office starting Monday morning in Las Vegas. And let them know what you think about it and, you know, support us that way because we know that not everybody can be down there. But we're going to take it to Harry Reid. He's the new Senate Majority Leader and is just a new recipient of the wrath of the American people, and he's going to catch it from us.
Horrible Harry Reid. Now, Ray, isn't it a fact that you just hate Mexicans?
I despise these people. You know, I love American Mexicans. like I love all Americans. But when you,
that was said tongue-in-cheek, folks. Ray Herrera happens to be of Mexican descent, but he's all American. He's a veteran, and I just want to make the point, and I have to make it from time to time, that there are people of all races involved in this fight to save America. It doesn't matter what color you are, where you came from, or who was your ancestor. It matters what you are today, and if you're an American, we want you to start standing up and acting like one, and Ray has done that beyond belief.
Yeah, and you know, Terry, something else I'd like to add here, that the real Americans of Hispanic ancestral blood, we all hate immoral Mexican nationals from Mexico.
Well, I hate all illegal aliens wherever they're from. Folks, that's Ray Herrera. He's the event coordinator for the Minuteman organization. And we want to thank you for coming on and announcing his deal.
All right. Thanks, Ray. On the 18th.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Ernest calling from the city of Los Angeles. Ernest, what do you hear? What do you say?
All right, Terry, how you doing?
Pretty good.
I was wondering if I could give a little plug for my TV show.
Absolutely.
I have, as I say, I'm doing this one show that is the forum that we did in Leimert Park for about illegal immigration, and you were one of the panelists.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming on Time Warner Cable TV, public access. The name of my program is called The Justice Channel. Unfortunately, Time Warner is broken up into several different districts. So it's coming on different times and different days. In the Crenshaw area, it's coming this Friday, December 22nd, 11 p.m. on public access channel 24. And in Inglewood, it's coming on Wednesday, January 3rd at 4 p.m. on channel 35. Now, also, you can check our website. I have the times that we're going to be cable casting.
What's the website, Ernest?
It's www.forgottenamericans.org.
Okay. Ernest, you got a question for our guests?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir.
Now, what about the fact that the Sheriff's Department is hiring more Hispanics than black Americans? And many of them I know are over here illegally. Also, I wanted to ask him about, now, you can't arrest illegal aliens. What about arresting employers? And if the sheriff can't do it, I know I can make a citizen's arrest of these employers that are hiring illegal aliens and discriminating against black Americans.
Let's take the first question. The first question was, you know, why is the sheriff's department hiring more Hispanics than black Americans, if that is the case?
You know what, I really don't know what the breakdown is on that. I know we are in full swing here now, and we are, you know, hiring actually, we've had 1,000 recruits go through the academy this year up to this date here.
Is that a lot, or is that normal?
No, that's a lot for us. We are on an accelerated hiring program.
Okay.
because of the 2.5 years that we were under a hiring freeze.
Catch up.
Yeah, we're playing catch up now. So we were down 1,100 deputy sheriffs, and on average for the sheriff's department, we have to hire a minimum of about 350 a year. Just to keep up with attrition, retirements and people that leave the department.
Well, let me ask this in Ernest's behalf. I'm sure he would agree with this question. Is there a prerequisite to hire people who are, quote, bilingual, unquote?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, you have to be an American citizen.
Okay.
Or show proof of the fact that, you know, you have, done so legally, you know,
but
that you're here legally.
Right, but let's say a Hispanic who is bilingual by accident because he got the English in school and he got the Spanish at home has a priority over, say, a black guy or even a white guy who doesn't speak a second language because he wasn't forced to learn it as a child. Does he have a priority over the American who's monolingual?
No, I mean, I don't believe so. I mean, I know we are under federal mandate, to hire minorities.
Right.
But I don't believe that they're given any special treatment or, you know, additional points, whatever you might, you know, want to phrase it as.
Ernest, I wish you had more time, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right. All right. Let's go to Ann calling from L.A. Ann, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hi, Terry. I would like to ask you and your guests,
I understand that that Governor Richardson in Arizona.
New Mexico.
Oh, okay. He asked the president to help that lady that was held up in the church,
mm-hmm.
that illegal lady.
Right.
Now, these two border patrolmen are supposed to go to prison next month. Now, if he helps that lady in that church, that illegal lady, then he should be impeached.
Well, he's trying to help a woman who was held up in a church where she sought sanctuary. She's illegally in the country. Her son's American-born, but she doesn't want to be deported and separated from him. And what Ann's talking about, folks, is the two Border Patrol agents, Agents Ramos and Compian, who are American citizens and have been doing the bidding of the American people by protecting us at the border, who are now going to go to prison for some trumped-up charge of some gangster, some drug dealer who they caught who was illegally in the country. And Richardson's not saying anything for him, but he's saying something for this woman who was illegally in the country. Isn't that amazing?
Now, isn't that something? Now, if he doesn't help those two border patrolmen, he needs to be impeached.
Well,
that illegal lady.
I'm all for it, Ann. I'm with you. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, real quick, let's go to Curtis calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Curtis, real quick, what do you hear? What do you say, buddy?
Well, first, Fortune Sheriff, I remember when I was living back there, us riders on the red line and the blue line was sorry that they took the sheriff off. Because I tell you, us rail riders, we love the sheriff department. And the other thing is, too, Terry, me and my wife was out at, I come across this couple from L.A., and we got to talking about illegal aliens. You know the attack on Jim Gilchrist by the communists? And the lady said, well, that's kind of funny because I'm from Hungary. And I remember 25 years ago what happened to me when I lost or left my passport in the hotel in Russia. Because she said, when we came to the border, I didn't have my papers on me. They kept me in for over 24 hours until they could confirm who I was. Even her passport was brown. So here's the communist protect their borders, but the communists over here want open borders. That's really something.
It really is, Curtis, and it's backwards from what it should be. Curtis, thanks for the call, buddy. You're sounding better all the time, buddy.
Oh, yeah, and to the sheriff, if he's listening there, I say, man, you know, God bless and stay safe.
Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate that.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, folks, those of you fortunate enough to be listening in the L.A. area and online know that after our show is Loris Rascala Live, and Loris is here to tell us exactly what she's going to be talking about this evening.
Good evening, Terry. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Can you hear me okay here?
Fine.
Okay. We're going to talk tonight to a daughter of one of the original jihadis. Nani Darwish started the group Arabs for Israel. She wrote a book called Now They Call Me Infidel. And we're going to talk with her tonight specifically about the role of women in Islam. How free are they really? They keep telling us they're liberated and free. So we're going to talk with her. She was raised in Egypt, lived in Egypt. And I think she has an interesting story.
The inside skinny
the
on
inside
her.
Scoop on women in Islam.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sounds like good stuff.
Thanks, Terry.
We'll be listening.
Absolutely.
All
thank
right,
you.
Kid. Okay, let's take a couple more calls. Let's go to Jill calling from Foothill Ranch. Jill, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Actually, I just wanted to comment also as Barbara Coe that I made my donation, and I really enjoyed Les's book. It was fabulous. So I strongly urge everybody to donate and take advantage of that.
Great book.
Absolutely. But I have a question actually for the sheriff,
mm-hmm.
and that is really what can we as citizens do when we know of a huge organization of illegal aliens? Is there a way to report them? Is there anything that we can do to have an effect whatsoever?
Are you talking like an employer that's employing
not
illegal
just an
aliens?
Employer, but maybe a...
What if it's a drop house or something
yeah,
like that?
Exactly.
How would you guys handle that if you got a call?
Well, actually, you know, we have taken down homes where you know they are keeping illegals. You know, for I forget the term that they use, but you know, but they keep them here, and then you know they extort money from their relatives here to try to get them released and all that. And we have done numerous of those. If you suspect anything, by all means, call the your local police or sheriff's department. notify them of it and, you know, get them at least working on it. And then the determination would be made there whether it's something that is going to be handled, you know, by the local authorities or if that's something that's going to be passed on to the federal authorities.
Great question, Jill. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too. All right, let's go to Terrence calling from Ladera Heights. Terrence, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hey, y'all. How are you this evening?
Pretty good.
Listen, my question is this. I've been listening to you for a while, and I definitely dig what you have to say quite a bit on the immigration situation.
Right.
But my question is this. You know, we've been a nation of immigrants for many years, and it seems like, you know, if immigrants quite often do a lot of jobs that, you know, other people who have moved up the ladder don't want to do. So if all of a sudden we go cold turkey, you know, nobody...
Well, hold on, Terrence. We're talking about apples and oranges here. We're not talking about immigrants. We're talking about illegal aliens. We have... Terrence, hold on. Listen to me. We allow a million point two to a million point five legal immigrants to come to this country every year. I am not protesting that. I am protesting the people who come to the country illegally. Go ahead.
Hey, man, listen, I'm with you 110%. I'm just wondering, like, we going to get some kid who just sits around playing video games. Is he going to all of a sudden say, hey, I'll be a fry cook for $3 an hour?
Well, we're not going to pay him $3 an hour. We're going to pay him an American wage. Let me tell you what happened. Down in the state of Georgia, they raided a chicken processing plant, or it might have been beef. I don't remember which it was. But they raided this plant. They took all the illegal aliens out of the plant. The people could not find workers. You know what the plant did, Terrence? They raised the wage by $1, and they had to fight the people off with a baseball bat because so many people were applying for the job because of a $1 raise. I understand what you're saying about the kid playing the video games, but let me say this to you. We've got prisoners that can work. We got welfare people that we should be putting to work, and we can find people to do those jobs. And if you go to North Dakota or New Hampshire or Vermont, guess what? You can get a Big Mac. You can get your table bussed. You can get waited on. You can get your bed changed in the hotel, and you can get a roof put on your house. Everywhere these people are not at, those jobs are being done by American citizens.
I'm with you. All right, then. Thank
Terrence, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the question. You call me again. All right, real quick, let's go to Leland calling from Las Vegas. Leland, you got about 15 seconds.
Okay, then. I just wanted to say hi to Curtis and hi to Ray, and I want to remind everybody to come on out to that Harry Reid thing on the 18th.
Good deal. Thanks, Leland. We appreciate it, buddy. Take care. Steve, we're winding up, end of the show. Give us your final words on the Sheriff's Department, something that you want everybody to know about the L.A. Sheriff's Department.
Well, it's, you know, to anybody that's thinking...
The truth. We want the truth.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody that's thinking about becoming a law enforcement officer, definitely take a look at the Sheriff's Department. It's a great organization. Like I said, I've been there 28 years. If I had to do it all over again...
That's what I was going to ask you, would you?
Absolutely. I had a great time.
I've known a lot of you guys, and I've always had the utmost respect for you, especially riding as one-man cars, geez. And folks around the country, there's some tough areas these guys are riding one-man cars. And we're not talking about Beverly Hills. We're talking about some tough places, and we applaud them for what they do. We appreciate it. We also appreciate you coming in.
No, thank you, Terry. Appreciate you having me.
Steve Remage, folks. L.A. Deputy Sheriff. Did I say that correct?
That's right.
There you go. Steve Remage, we appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, sir.
All right, folks, we want to remind you we do need your help to stay on the air. If you want to order Les's book or whatever, send it to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. Don't forget, this week with the swings, good stuff. 2, human resources and... Is this the direction to Bash Bush? Good stuff. You can read it on our website. Don't forget Rusty Childress, Childress Auto Mall, 22nd Avenue and Camelback. His website is immigrationbuzz.com. And I want to thank my buddy Les Blinkhorn and my producer for taking your calls, and Alex Cano for engineering the show flawlessly tonight. We appreciate it. I want to remind everybody, this show is what it is because of you, not because of me. We will continue to do our job for America no matter what. That I promise you. Don't forget those 3 websites we tell you to look at every single week. Don't forget ours at TerryAndersonShow.com. And don't forget our good buddy Juan Man at DeportAliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week, as usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.